Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up today on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, also special guest, Midgey Moore from Juneau. You might know her column, Meals with Midgey, in the Capital Weekly, and she's the owner of the Juneau Food Tours. She's a writer and food blogger. Also, the drink of the week and my sweet tooth, coming up today on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer and Weekon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available. Hammer and Weekon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And a welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops, but you won't get to taste those. maybe not. You never know. You never know. This weekend, we had what I think was a really great barbecue for Mother's Day. And it is barbecue season. Made some barbecued ribs with homemade barbecue sauce. Delicious. This barbecue sauce you can use not just with ribs, but with chicken. So I'm going to give you that recipe today. Also, this weekend I made braised oxtail with linguine and broccolini. It was so good. It was so good. This is just the type of recipe that I order when I eat out at a restaurant down in the lower 48 or wherever, if it's offered. If it were offered here in Petersburg, I'd be ordering it. And I love oxtail, so I decided to splurge because I really feel like I haven't been cooking much for my family lately, and I wanted to make a very nice dinner the other night. So made the braised oxtail with linguine, and here's the recipe. So preheat your oven to 350, and you want to get out of, well, I have a special braisery pan because I do a lot of braising. It's a wide, shallow, heavy cast iron pan with a lid. And if you don't have a braisery pan, you could use just a Dutch oven. Works fine for this. So you're going to salt and pepper the oxtail. And, you know, some of the pieces of oxtail will be wider and some will be, you know, smaller. And just salt and pepper them all over. And then in your pan, you want a little bit of olive oil and a touch of butter, and brown the oxtail on all sides. It's nice and brown. And then keep the oxtail in the pan. Add a chopped onion or a half of a chopped onion. I probably used, I think, a half. And then I also added some sliced mushrooms, just about a whole box of the cremini mushrooms, sliced, and then a couple whole sprigs of rosemary. I just threw the whole thing in. A little more salt and pepper, and also some whole red cherry tomatoes. And some whole crushed garlic cloves. So the oxtail is nice and browned, and so you're starting to get some little bits in the pan and a little bit of fat in the pan also from the oxtail. And now you've added in the mushrooms, the onion, the rosemary, the salt and pepper, the whole red cherry tomatoes. And that's just all going to cook and cook it. It's going to cook in the butter and the olive oil and also in a little bit of the fat that has melted into the pan. And you throw those crushed garlic cloves there toward the end and you just get this wonderful smell. And once those have cooked and the onion is softened, the mushrooms have released a little bit of juice. Okay. Also a little red pepper flake in that. Then you're going to add some red wine to that and kind of deglaze the pan. Move the oxtail around a little bit and kind of swirl the vegetables and the oxtail just a little bit. The red wine's going to pick all that up. And then probably about a cup of red wine. And then you're going to add a little beef broth to that too. Let all of that come to a boil. And then once it's come to a boil for a few minutes, then you can place the lid on top. Your oven should be set then at 350 and ready to go. Pop it in the oven and let that cook for about 2 hours. That meat will just about fall off the bone when it's ready, and the liquid will reduce down. And you're going to check that halfway through to see if you need a little more liquid. And if you do, just throw in some more beef broth or wine, whichever, or a little of both. Meanwhile, it's so easy to braise. See, you just brown it all, throw in the liquid, and you're good. And you can walk away and work on the rest of the meal. So meanwhile, you're going to get your pasta ready. So I used a linguine because that's what I had. And you're going to cook the linguine in the boiling water, salted boiling water. And I usually cook mine al dente, maybe a little less. I really like to have a good bite on the pasta with this type of dish because I'm actually going to put the pasta in with the liquid and it's going to continue to cook a little bit. So I'm not going to cook the pasta all the way through, almost done. When the oxtail's ready, it's falling off the bone. You can take it out of the oven, place it on a burner, move the oxtail aside to the side of your pan and reduce the liquid to about half. So that liquid is going to get nice and thick and delicious, and it's going to smell delicious. Check the flavor. You might need to add some more salt to that, maybe a little more pepper. And then you're going to add your pasta. So your pasta is ready to go. Just lift it out with the tongs into that reduced liquid with that beautiful oxtail on the side. And mix it up with the liquid a little bit. Those wonderful whole tomatoes have cooked down. And, oh, it's going to be so good. So good, everybody. And then toss it all. Plate it up, a little bit of pasta on the plate or in a nice shallow wide bowl, and then you're going to add a couple pieces of oxtail to that. Put on some nice shredded Parmesan cheese, maybe just a little dash of olive oil on top of that, and it is a great meal. Let me tell you, so delicious. I bought extra oxtail, so I bought 2 packages. So I did splurge a little bit. I wanted to have some leftover, and I made sure I made leftovers because it's so good leftover. And something like that, sometimes it's better the next day. So there's your braised oxtail recipe. It was such a great meal. My family loved it. You know, we finally had a decent meal because, like I said, I haven't cooked that much the last week. And then, of course, yesterday was Mother's Day. We had a nice barbecue, and I made some nice barbecue sauce. This barbecue sauce is great for chicken, and it's also great with ribs, which is what we used it on. When you're barbecuing, and especially if you're going to barbecue away from the house, it's so much easier to just bake the chicken ahead of time in the oven, season it with a dry rub if you want to, put it in the oven and bake it, and then let it cool. And then you could just take it to the barbecue grill wherever you're going, finish it off on the grill with your barbecue sauce. So if you're going out to Blind Slough or you're going to Green's Camp or someone's house, you know, really the chicken or the ribs are already done. So the chicken, you know, a good hour, hour and a half. And the ribs, you know, with the ribs, I just made a nice dry rub. And put the ribs in the oven. These are pork baby back ribs. Put them in the oven on 350 for 2 hours. And, you know, they come in a rack, and I usually cut them into thirds. Place them on, you know, you can put them in a 9x13. You can put them, any sort of roasting pan will do. Put them in the oven, cover it up with foil, 350 for 2 hours, and you're good to go. Let them cool down a little bit. Cut them into single ribs. You can just take a whole pan of them with you, with your barbecue sauce. And it's only going to take a few minutes to get the ribs ready at your barbecue. Here's a good tangy barbecue sauce. I made probably almost a quart, so about 3.5 cups of tangy barbecue sauce with this recipe. I used 5 tablespoons of butter. Whether you use unsalted or salted, it's up to you. I used salted because I love salt. In a saucepan with about 1 cup of finely chopped celery and 1/2 cup of finely chopped yellow onion. The celery is really important. Like, you don't want to make a barbecue sauce without celery. It just gives it that special tang that it needs, just like a lot of soups. But the celery is important. So is the onion. And let those cook and sweat down into the butter, and that butter is going to sort of foam and thicken with the celery cooking down and the onion cooking down. And then add 2 cups of ketchup. I used the juice from 2.5 lemons. Also, 4 tablespoons of raw sugar. 4 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. And I usually don't measure, but I'm just estimating that that's what I used. When I'm pouring in like something like cider vinegar, I kind of know what a tablespoon is, but by all means, measure, because this is what these are the measurements I'm giving you. 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce and 2 teaspoons of dried mustard. I was out of dried mustard at my house, so I used I took some mustard seed in my pestle and mortar and just scraped it down into a really nice powder. And boy, is it good that way. I didn't bother pan frying it or anything first, or putting it through the spice blender, which I could have. I just decided to pestle and mortar it, which took a little time, but really released some nice oil with the mustard there. So that was great. And a little bit of freshly ground pepper, also 2 teaspoons of garlic powder, and 1 teaspoon of red pepper flake. So pour all of that into the saucepan with your butter, celery, and onion. Stir it around, bring it to a boil, and let it boil for about 20-25 minutes. If you don't like the celery chunks or the onion chunks, you can put it all in the blender or use an immersion blender and blend it so it's really, really smooth. But if you've cut the butter or the celery and the onion up small enough, then you should be fine with that. And just let it cool, put it into a quart jar, and take it with you with your ribs or chicken, and you're ready to go. Or just take it right on out to the grill. You'll be ready with a great barbecue sauce. So that was super delicious. And remember to always make extra so that you have leftover. So, also yesterday, along with the barbecue, what would a barbecue be without something like a Texas sheet cake? So inspired by Katrina Miller, I have a Texas sheet cake recipe for you. Most people have a good Texas sheet cake recipe, but you never know. These are so easy to make, and they feed a crowd, and they're perfect for a barbecue. You just take the whole pan with you, cover it with foil, and everyone loves a piece of Texas sheet cake, or maybe two. So, a quick Texas sheet cake recipe. For the cake, you need 2 cups of all-purpose flour and a couple of cups of granulated sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of butter, 1 cup of water, 3 tablespoons of unsweetened baking cocoa, 1/2 cup of buttermilk, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and 2 eggs slightly beaten. And then, of course, it wouldn't be a Texas sheet cake without that great frosting, 1/2 cup of butter, 3 tablespoons of unsweetened baking cocoa, 6 tablespoons of milk, 2 1/2 cups of powdered sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and 1 cup of nuts if you want nuts on top. Really easy to make. Heat your oven to 325. You're going to spray a nice big baking pan, cookie sheet, or jelly roll pan is really the term for it. 15 by 10 by 1 inch baking pan with cooking spray. Stir together in a large bowl your flour, your sugar, and your salt and set it aside. And then in a 2-quart saucepan or whatever saucepan you normally use for something like this, you're going to heat up your butter, your 1 cup of butter, the water, and 3 tablespoons of baking cocoa. And you're going to let that boil. Then remove it from the heat and pour that over your flour mixture that you've set aside and stir it until it's well mixed. Then add your buttermilk and your baking soda, your vanilla, and the eggs, and stir it until it's well blended. Pour that into the pan, spread it out so it's even, bake it for about 25 minutes or until the toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. So meanwhile, while you're baking it, you can make the frosting. So in another 2-quart saucepan, you can heat up 1/2 cup of butter, your 3 tablespoons of baking cocoa, and the milk. Let that simmer and then remove it from the heat. Then beat in the powdered sugar, the teaspoon of vanilla, and whisk it until smooth. If you want to add nuts, then that's the time that you're going to do it. You're going to stir in the pecans or walnuts, whatever you want to use. And then pour that frosting over the hot cake when it comes out of the oven and let it all cool before cutting about 1 hour, if you can. I know it's hard to handle. You want to dig right in. And that's your Texas sheet cake. I can get this recipe to you. Email mindy@kfsk.org, and I'll share this Texas sheet cake recipe. I love buttermilk, so I love to put buttermilk in cakes. And if you want the barbecue recipe, same email address, mindy@kfsk.org. I hope you had a great Mother's Day. Coming up next on What's for Dinner, we have a special guest, Midgey Moore from Juneau. She's our special guest coming up on What's for Dinner.
Thank you.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we have a special guest on What's for Dinner. Joining me on the line from Juneau, Kelly Midgey Moore. Everyone calls her Midgey, owner of Juneau Food Tours, and she's spent the past 6 years writing and blogging about Juneau and the delicious food scene there. Good afternoon,
Hello.
Midgey.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show today. Midgey and I met, I think it was back in February in Juneau, and mm-hmm. we discussed you coming on the program, so I'm excited to have you today.
Well, thanks. I'm really excited to be here, on the radio. Yeah, and I'm actually really excited, too, because it's not raining in Juneau.
It's not raining in here, either. It's nice and sunny in Petersburg today. Did you have a nice day yesterday?
I did. It was very quiet. My kids don't live here in Juneau with me. They live far away, so they called me and we visited for a little bit. But yeah, I had a nice quiet day, and it got a little few things done before the season starts and I start hitting the ground running with my tours.
Okay. Well, before we talk about your tour, Midgey, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the food scene and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, I am originally from Georgia. I'm a Southern Belle, and I grew up in a family of eaters and a family of cooks. And so my mother particularly, my mom, my grandma, my great-grandmother, my aunts, they're all just amazing cooks. My dad is an amazing cook. And so I think from even when I was a child, I had very high expectations for food. And so I remember my friends would invite me over to their house for dinner, and I'd say, oh, you know, why don't we go to mine? Because I knew my mother would be such a great cook and that I wouldn't be disappointed. So I've always just loved food. I love everything about the history of food, learning about it, writing about it, reading about it, cooking it, and definitely eating it. And when I moved to Juneau, my oldest daughter and my best friend back in Utah, they had asked me how to make certain recipes. And so I said, oh, you know, I'll start a little blog. And I did the blog just so that I would have a place where they could go and find these recipes. And then the Capital City Weekly picked it up. And so for, I think I'm going on my fifth year writing for Capital City Weekly. And so I write my column and it has a recipe in it. But from there, I just sort of branched out into the food scene here in Juneau, particularly because I love my city. I love Southeast Alaska. I really love everything that we do here. And we are having a real renaissance of the dining scene here. And that's how I got really immersed into the food scene and working with the restaurants and things like that, which evolved into my tour.
I love your column, and where do you get most of your inspiration for your column on a weekly basis? Do you have people that write into you that ask you to write about something, or they're looking for a certain recipe?
I do get inspiration from people who write me. I love it when I hear from people who read the column. It's very flattering to know that people read it, but it's also really exciting to be able to converse with people about it. Truthfully, the primary inspiration is what's going on that week. What am I thinking? What's happening? What did I have? Did I go to a special event? And I tease my husband, who I affectionately call the captain, if he's done something really goofy, I tend to write about that because it's basically a day in the life of living in Alaska, being a city girl married to an Alaskan guy. And there are times where, like, I'll be watching Food Network, and I'm like, I can make that. I wonder if I made it this way, would it taste good? And I talk to my friends who are chefs and my fellow friends who are just home cooks like I am. And so they come from all over. Just, gee, that sounds like a cool idea. I wonder if I did that, what would happen?
That's right. And then, so now what is the address of your blog for people who want to look your blog up, Midgey?
It's actually, I've converted my food blog into my tour blog, so everything's in one place. And so it's junofoodtours.com, and there is a section there that is recipes. And then I do have my old blog, which is Meals, M-E-A-L-S, with W-I-T-H, Midgey, M-I-D-G-I.com, where you can still do find some of my older things.
Okay, great. Well, one of the things that you do that I absolutely love is you do food tours in Juneau, and I have not been on one of your food tours, but the next time I come to Juneau, if it's the food tour season, I will be signing up.
And, I would love that.
And you have a couple of different food tours that you take, or that we can take, and one of them is the Prohibition food tour, and last time we spoke, I was getting ready to host the Speakeasy, KFSK Speakeasy here in Petersburg, and I thought, what a great idea, the Prohibition food tour. Can you tell me about your food tours?
Oh, sure. So the winter tour, the Prohibition one, it runs from mid-December through the end of March, and that tour was designed mainly for Southeast folks and Alaskans because, as you know, living here, a lot of times it gets kind of slow and a lot of the tours and the seasonal companies close, but I still wanted something for people to be able to do. I jokingly say that I started this tour because my husband was telling me I had to get a job, and I was like, I have a job. I'm building an empire. So I created a tour. Little to my surprise how successful it would be. The Prohibition tour has three locations. We have an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. We go to three different locations within walking distance of each other. And the interesting and fun part about it is that we talk a lot about the history of Prohibition, how it came to be, who was the brains behind that, and then how it played out in Alaska, because Alaska was a territory at the time, and then specifically how it played out in Southeast Alaska in Juneau. And, of course, all three tasting locations have cocktails because it's Prohibition. So yeah. You can get it with or without cocktails, but the ones with the cocktails, you'll get either a cocktail or a wine pairing with it.
Nice. So what type of food do you have on your Prohibition tour? Like, is it a steak or seafood?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the Prohibition one, for the appetizer, we went to V Cellar Door, which is downtown Juneau on Seward Street. And there, she actually is a fusion chef. So I asked her to kind of go off her menu to create something that was very popular during the 30s and 20s, and that was fondue. So she makes this wonderful garlic cheese fondue with all the dippers, and then she throws in her little fusion touch with adding sometimes the Korean chicken that is available on her menu as one of the dippers to dip into the cheese. And I'm here to tell you, that is off the hook delicious. And then the other thing that she does a flight of two of her shrubs, and the shrubs are America's original cocktail dating back to the 1700s, and V is the original restaurant in Juneau to bring this back here. And she, what shrubs are, it's like a syrup made from vinegared and sugared fruits and berries. And so it could be anything from like a ginger pear to a pomegranate. She had a pineapple jalapeno. I mean, it's all these different flavors. And then she takes these syrups after they've macerated a while, and then she combines it with either a hard cider, a sparkling wine, red wine, white wine, sometimes a club soda if you want a non-alcoholic version. She has all these different kinds of things that she does with it. So on the Prohibition dinner, you get the fondue plus two shrubs.
Uh-huh.
And then we go over to Salt, which is our high-end, fine dining, very sophisticated, elegant restaurant. And they do a special plating for us of a filet mignon with a red wine pairing. And then we go to the Bubble Room Lounge, which is in the historical Westmark Baranoff Hotel, where we have a traditional creme brulee. And there they did a winter warmer, which was a coffee with Bailey's and Kahlua, which my husband, that was his favorite because he loves his Bailey's.
Yes, that's great in coffee. And mm-hmm. and then so the fun thing about this tour is, are you the only one that leads the tour, or do you have somebody else that leads this?
I lead most of them, mm-hmm. but I do have another guide who worked for me this last season. His name was Rick, and we actually made him kind of a gangster persona, and so he was Ricky from Chicago. And he dressed the part, and he did a couple of tours for me while I was out of town, and he was a huge hit. But for the winter ones, I do most of them unless I'm out of town.
And what I want to let everybody know is that Midgey dresses the part for this tour, too. So you wear, do you dress as a flapper, or?
I do.
Yes.
Actually, I joked that I also started this tour so I could buy some cool clothes.
Uh-huh.
So, that's half the fun, is getting into the spirit of it. And so I do have flapper dresses, and I wear cute little hats, and I even got a cute little coat to go. But the whole thing is that it just sets that tone, and I encourage my guests to get into the spirit of it. Some of them really do, and it's so fun. They really get into it. They love the fact that it's a different way to experience Chino, a night on the town. It's not just dinner and then a movie. It's an experience. And so they're not just getting all this great food, but it's a hosted evening. And I only take up to 8 guests at a time to keep it as an intimate setting. And the feedback that I got was really great. There was one couple that I just adored. They dressed up just hoping I would take their picture and put it on my Facebook. And I was like, of course I will. Absolutely. I just love that you got into the spirit of it.
That's great. So tell me about some of your other tours, or you have another tour. What do you do in the summertime when Juno is just inundated with visitors?
That is what I call my Tour with Taste, which is my summer offering. And that one is an authentic, typical food tour, in the sense that you go to different locations and you do food tastings. So with this one, it's 2.5 hours long, and I designed it that way so that it would be small enough for cruise ship passengers to still be able to go to do something else, and still long enough to really experience and enjoy Juno, but also really get the highlight of what Alaskan seafood is all about, because we target and we really focus on Alaska's wild, sustainable seafood. So on that tour, we go to Tracy's King Crab Shack, where they have crab bisque, a crab cake, and a roll. Then we come over to the Wharf Building, which is in the heart of the city. We walk down the Seawalk, and there they have, we go into Alaska Knife Works, the home of the Ulu. And there we have smoked salmon spread, smoked salmon caviar, and kelp marmalade, which is a huge success on the tour. People love it. And then we go to Panhandle Provisions, which is owned by Chef Bo Schooler and Travis Smith, who are the guys who own the Rookery Cafe, Taqueria, which is a neat little taco place down by the water. And they also just opened an Italian restaurant. And then we have each guest gets an individual charcuterie plate. And then we go to V. Cellar Door, where, again, she's very well known for her fusion cooking. And they have halibut fusion nachos. And then we go down the street about, I don't know, a tenth of a block to Salt. And there the chef has prepared a special tasting, which is a beer-battered rockfish tostada. They're two little mini tostadas with a white wine pairing. And then we wrap it up at the Alaskan Bar, where they have an Alaskan, a flight of Alaskan beers from the Alaskan Brewing Company. So they can have an Alaskan in the Alaskan with the Alaskan. But they don't stop there. We also give every guest a reusable, recyclable shopping bag. And in that bag are two additional tastings. And one is Chef Steph's almond toffee. And the other one is the ginger snap cookies from Taku Glacier Lodge. So all together they get 8 tastings, and there are 6 locations, but they get coupons and discounts for shops downtown and all kinds of activities or things to encourage them to stay in the downtown area and have some fun while they're here.
It sounds like a great time. How many, do you do just one tour a day, or do you do them like every other day?
How many tours do you do? I do tours every single day. Mm-hmm. I have tours available every single day. And I start, this year it was April 30th, and I will run through October 1st. And every single day we'll have a tour all summer long. Some days I have three, some days I have four, some days I have one. It just depends on the day. And it's really tied to ship arrivals, but it's also tied to independent travelers.
Sure, sure. And maybe groups. It'd be a great sort of corporate fun thing, too, for people who work together.
Yes, on Saturday, actually, I'm doing a private tour for 16 people. And so it's really fun. Last year, I did family reunions and family groups as private tours, lots of things like that. It's really fun for... if there's a company, because they do a lot of like cruise incentive things, and you know, they'll say, oh, this group, their top salespeople get to go on a cruise to Alaska, and they'll contact me, and then I will book them a private departure. If you book a private tour, then we can determine what time is going to work best for you as far as the departure time.
Sure.
So we can be a little more flexible with that. But then I also have people who fly in, and you know, they're going on maybe one of the small ship cruises, and then they want to do something before or after. People staying in hotels.
Juneau really has the food scene coming up. There are really a lot of restaurants opening up. It's great to see. It's really great to see.
It really is. And I am like, I tell everybody I'm on a one-woman mission to make Juneau a dining destination, because we're only a two-hour flight from Seattle. It's just a great place to come for a weekend, whether it's winter or summer, to just come and experience Alaska, but also just to really experience our amazing seafood here. Because as you know, especially in Petersburg, being a fishing town, we don't farm fish here. And so they, when people come and they eat the seafood, it's the best there is. And it's, and people just really love that. They really love it that they're getting this amazing, wild, sustainable seafood, but they're also going with the local. I only hire people who live here year-round as my guides, and so they have to be invested in the success of my community, but also really know what's happening in Juneau, because we do get lots of people who ask us, so what's it like in the winter? What do you do with all this rain, you know, when it's raining all the time? You know the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's someone who is actually here can really speak authentically about it. And that's one of the things people truly enjoy, is just being able to spend some time with someone who lives here.
Mm-hmm. What's up next for you? How are you going to expand? What's in your plans?
Oh, my gosh. Well, as I always say, I just want to get through the season. But I am looking at some other opportunities. I'm looking at some ideas for expanding the Prohibition Dinner concept, but also of doing something in maybe Ketchikan. I'm not really sure yet. I'm still kind of exploring my options. And then I really want to make sure that my Juneau tour is just as perfect as I can get it before I move on to something newer. But I want to really grow the company so that I can become a good employer and also give back to my community through that, because I you know, I feel like I reap the rewards of living here, and my business model is such that I am reliant on the success of other people, so I want to help them be successful. And generally, when I talk about my company, I am talking more about the restaurants than I am myself, because they are the backbone of my company.
Thank you so much for the inspiration. I can't wait to take one of your tours. I'm sure everybody's writing down all of your information. And
thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, I always joke that I'm, you know, being an old Georgia girl there, is that when we meet, we eat. So I love the idea of when people come up here, I feed them. That's what I like to do anyway. And I take you to the best places that Juneau offers. And, and I think that Juneau has such an amazing food scene here. I mean, we've got James Beard nominee chefs. We've got Michelin star trained chefs. We have award-winning food. I mean, it's just amazing that what we have here. And being able to highlight that is such a treat for me.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We'd love hearing your stories and about your food tours, and good luck with your blog. And on the Capital City Weekly, we'll be looking for the next recipe. Do you have any recipes you'd like to share with us today?
Well, there's one that I actually, you had asked me earlier what my one of my favorites is.
Uh-huh.
And this one is super simple, and it's a watermelon salad. And this is, it's 4 cups of watermelon. You cube and seed it. 2 cups of seedless grapes cut in half. 1 cup of fresh basil. And then the zest of 2 oranges, the juice of 2 oranges, the zest of 1 lemon, the juice of 1/2 lemon, and then 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil.
Ooh.
And then you mix the juices and the oils and the zest together. Add a little salt and pepper. Sometimes I toss in a pinch or two of cumin. And you put all of the fruit together with the basil, toss all that together, and just before you're ready to serve it, pour that dressing on it.
Sounds great.
And it's a wonderful summer salad. And the other fun thing is that the dressing can also be used on salmon. It's really good on salmon. Baste your fish with it right as you when you put it on the grill, and then baste it right as you take it off, and that citrusy flavor just seeps into that fresh fish, and it's just absolutely amazing.
Okay, we'll try it. Thank you, Midgey.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll look you up when we get over to Juneau.
I can't wait.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Midgey Moore. Everyone calls her, well, Midgey. It's Kelly Midgey Moore. She's the owner of the Juneau Food Tours, and she spent the past 6 years writing and blogging about Juneau and the delicious food scene there. Thank you so much for your time. And we do post What's for Dinner on KFSK's website. If you want to have Midgey's recipe that she just gave you for the watermelon salad, you can look that up later on kfsk.org. Coming up next, it's the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. On Singley Alley and open 7 days a week. Today's drink of the week uses lime juice, also agave nectar, some blueberry vodka, pineapple juice. It sounds so good. This recipe is from Driscoll's. And Driscoll's, who sometimes we get at the grocery stores, blackberries and raspberries and strawberries. Lots of recipes on their website, and I've looked some of their recipes up before, and all of them are very, very good. This is for the spicy pineapple blueberry margarita. You need 2 tablespoons of lime juice. You need a little bit of sugar to rim your glass. 1/4 cup of Driscoll's blueberries, or our wild blueberries, of course. 2 tablespoons plus 1.5 teaspoons of tequila. And here they suggest silver tequila. 1 tablespoon of agave nectar. 1 tablespoon of blueberry vodka. And remember, you can make your own blueberry vodka right here just by using some vodka and some blueberries, wild blueberries. You just take the blueberries and somewhat crush them a little bit, pour vodka over them, and put them in a jar or a big bottle or something with a lid, and let it sit in a cool, dark place for a good month or so, and then you're going to have some blueberry vodka. You can add a little bit of sugar to that, but you can make your own blueberry vodka. But if you don't have blueberry vodka for this recipe, you can always buy it a tablespoon of pineapple juice, a pinch of ground chipotle pepper, and 2 lime quarters. You're going to rim a glass with lime juice, dip it into the sugar, and place a layer of ice in the glass, set it aside, place the blueberries in a cocktail shaker, and muddle them. Add the tequila, the agave nectar, the vodka, the pineapple juice, chipotle pepper, and ice, and shake it vigorously. Strain it into a prepared glass, garnish with additional blueberries and lime quarters, and there is the spicy pineapple blueberry margarita. And, you know, I just, for my sweet tooth this week, after somebody gave us some almond puff that we had at our house, it didn't last long, the almond puff. It was gone with coffee. You know, almond puff never sticks around that long. It's there and then it's not very quickly. So you got to grab it when you can. But I've had almond on my mind, and I found this recipe for triple almond cookies. And I love these cookies because you press them down with a fork like peanut butter cookies. And so this is triple almond. This is going to help with my almond craving that I have right now. And to make these cookies, you need 1 cup of softened butter, 2 cups of sugar, 1 cup of sifted powdered sugar, 1 cup of vegetable or canola oil, a couple of eggs, a teaspoon of almond extract, 4.5 cups of flour, a teaspoon of baking soda, a teaspoon of salt, also a teaspoon of cream of tartar, a couple of cups of sliced almonds, 1 package of toffee bits, or 6 ounces of toffee bits, and a little bit of sugar for rolling cookies. Preheat your oven to 350. Beat the butter at medium speed with your electric mixer until creamy, then gradually add in the sugar and the powdered sugar. Mix it well, and then add your oil, eggs, and almond extract. Mix well. So it's a basic cookie recipe there. Combine the flour, baking soda, salt, and cream of tartar. Add it to the butter mixture. Mix well. Stir in the almonds and toffee bits. Scoop the cookies with a medium cookie scoop, which would be about 2 tablespoons. Roll the dough into the granulated sugar. Place on your parchment-lined baking pan and flatten the cookies in a crisscross pattern with a fork dipped in sugar. Bake for 10 to 12 minutes. Cool slightly on a pan and remove to wire rack to cool completely. And I got this recipe from plainchicken.com. And this is a triple almond cookie, and I'm so excited to make these cookies. And that's it for What's for Dinner today. Thank you to Midgey Moore for joining us. We'll have to check out her food tours. It sounds great, doesn't it? Good luck with those barbecues. Try that barbecue sauce. It's going to be great for chicken and ribs. We'll be back next time with some recipes. Until then, happy eating, happy cooking. And don't forget, this week, it's KFSK's Spring Membership Drive. KFSK.org is the place to donate. It takes about a minute, or you can call us at 772-3808.